Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're turning to Psalm 23, continuing our study in this precious portion of God's Word. I dare say that it's the most precious of the Psalms in the eyes of very, very many. It's sung by people who probably know very little of the Bible. But they do know something about this psalm. Maybe they don't take note of what it is saying, but nevertheless, it's a familiar psalm amongst many. We're going to look at the verse 4. We've got that far. There's only 6 verses, so we're well on the way to concluding our study of the psalm. The verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, we have been looking in the earlier part of the psalm of how David has been exalting the Lord, glorifying the Lord, speaking of his goodness and his mercy and his kindness toward him, indeed toward all who are saved, who are Christians. Now, in verse 4, he begins with the little word, "Yea." That's not a word we would commonly use today. And I suppose the meaning of it has almost been completely forgotten. But really, what David is saying is this: I've told you what the Lord has done. I've told you of his mighty goodness and kindness. But I'm going to go further and tell you more. Yea! Or we might put it like this: even though we have had the blessings that I've described, there are even more wonderful blessings. And then he goes on to speak of this, what is a very well-known verse. "Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's to be noted that he's talking to the Lord here. He's not just speaking to us, but he's addressing the Lord. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He's telling the Lord of how he is without fear, even at the prospect of passing through the valley of the shadow of death, because the Lord's with him. That's our subject then today, and I trust the Lord will help us as we look at it. I'm going to just set out 4 simple thoughts that I hope you're able to follow. First and foremost, God's people, the best of God's people, often find themselves in the middle of darkness. Darkness is a thing that we fear to a large degree. We're not as happy in the dark as we are in the sunlight. We sort of imagine there's more danger in the dark than there is in the sunlight. And in fact, that's quite true. I would say most crimes are done in the dark. Most wicked and evil deeds are done in the dark. Less are done in the daylight, for the simple reason that you could be seen doing it and caught. But in the dark, there's a bit of concealment. So the dark is a time that engenders or creates fear in the hearts of most people, and even Christians pass through dark times. That's what David is saying here. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow." We must be prepared for that, boys and girls. We must be prepared for dark times, times when shadows fall upon us and the sunlight somewhat disappears. Listen while I read you a verse or two. The first one I'm going to read is in Job chapter 30, and it's the verse 26. And I'm just illustrating what it is I have just said. Job chapter 30 and the verse 26 says, "When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness." Now here's a good man, a godly man. And the whole story of Job is one that illustrates that dark times can come upon the best of people. So we've got to be ready for that. We've got to be prepared for that. And David was prepared for that. He said, "Even if darkness comes, I'm not going to fear, because the Lord's with me." And let me give you my second point, and it's this, something I've already touched upon in my last statement there. In the midst of darkness, we can walk calmly and not run away in fear. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I'll tell you a wee story. It happened, oh, an awful long time ago. It happened even before I was born. There was a man coming home from visiting, and it was dark. And this was up where I was born, above Listnaskee. Now, there were no lights there on the roads as you have now. No lights whatsoever. And it was a dark night. And he was walking along, and suddenly he tripped out over something. And that frightened him. But what frightened him more is that which he fell out over suddenly got up and made a most horrendous noise. It was a donkey. And the donkey was as frightened as he was. And it was braying and roaring as only a donkey can. And the man was in terror. And off up the road he ran, like a rabbit. But when a dark time comes on a Christian, if they remember what it was David remembered, they don't have to run. They can calmly walk in the midst of the shadow of death. You bear that in mind. You have no reason to be fearful and frightened when it seems as if trouble is coming near. The word fear first appears in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 10. And it's found in the words of Adam when he had sinned and he had run away and hid from God. And the Lord found him and said, "What's going on here? Why are you hiding?" And Adam said, "I was afraid. I was afraid of you, Lord." Sin makes us afraid. Sin spoils our relationship with God. But those who know what it is to be forgiven and cleansed from sin live in perfect harmony with God and have no fear. The child of God is delivered from all fear because they're reconciled to God and they are his children. They belong to him and they know that he loves them. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." The moment I got saved, there was a taking away from me fear. Fear of the future. Fear of God. I was no longer frightened of God's judgment. No longer frightened of God's judgment. The true child of God then has the Lord with them at all times as their friend. He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If we have him beside us, we're not going to be frightened, even in the dark. Even in the dark. Third thing I want to say is this. The valley spoken of here is a valley through which all will pass, except those Christians who are alive when the Lord Jesus returns. I'll just say something about them. Do you know that when the Lord Jesus returns, there will be on the earth those who are Christians? Say he were to come now. Each one of you here that is a Christian would be changed. You wouldn't die. You would be changed. You would be glorified. You would take on the beauty of the Lord Jesus as you rose to meet him in the air at his return. But that group of people are the only group of people who will not pass through the valley of the shadow of death. We all must pass that way. Except, I say, should we be alive when the Lord Jesus returns. But it's good for us to give thought to that fact. A lot of people might say, oh, you shouldn't speak of that subject to boys and girls who are young. It might frighten them. Well, I'm taking my lead from God because he has spoken of it in this psalm, which you have sung many times. So the Lord wants us to know that there is a valley through which we must pass. But we're not to be frightened. We're not to be frightened. And it's good for boys and girls to know something of the future. To know what lies ahead. In the summertime, men everywhere, and women, and boys and girls, engage in harvesting food for the winter time. And in days in which we're in good health, it's always wise to take steps to ensure that we maintain our good health, lest sickness comes upon us. So do you understand? The Lord's wanting us to think about what lies ahead, and in thinking about the valley of the shadow of death, recognize that we don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear. Because the Lord will be there. The Lord will be there. We'll not come to any harm. We'll not come to any harm. That's what is set before us here. That's what's set before us here. Now, notice the terms that David uses here. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? The valley of the shadow of death. We're not frightened of shadows. If we saw the shadow of a lion, we wouldn't be frightened of it. Frightened of the lion, yes, but not its shadow. The lion's shadow can't do us any harm. The shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a sword can't cut you. And for the Christian, the valley through which we one day will have to pass is only a shadow of death in that valley. You see, death has been dealt with for us. The Lord Jesus suffered death for us, robbed it of its power, so that it's only a shadow. It's only a shadow. Oh, how important it is for us to take note exactly what it is God says. David's rejoicing here. There's a smile on his face. If we could see him taping these words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thou art with me. I'm going to close with one other thought. And that is, he tells us how he knows God is with him. That's what we read here. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now we're back to the imagery of the shepherd. What does a shepherd carry? A shepherd's crook, isn't that right? It's a long pole, usually with a loop on the end of it. And that's what David's talking about. And he says, the Lord
has a rod, a staff, and with that rod and staff, he says, I know he's near. He conveys to me through that rod and staff comfort. What is the rod and the staff that the Lord has that imparts comfort? We're going back to the shepherd. We learn from his activities and his use of the rod and the staff. The first thing, I'm not going to read the verses, but in Leviticus chapter 27 and the verse 32, it talks about sheep passing under the rod. You see, when the shepherd was counting his sheep, they'd hold out the rod and they would pass under it. And as each one passed, he would count them. And he'd know how many he had and if all that he had were there. Then again, I mentioned how that the staff had a bit of a crook on the end of it. And do you know what that was for? Rescuing the sheep when they got into trouble. Maybe fell over a bit of a ledge, and the shepherd couldn't reach them with his hand, but he could reach down with his staff, hook them round the neck, and pull them up, and rescue them. And thus, the sheep were comforted, helped by the rod and the staff. Then again, sheep can be naughty, just like some people I know can be naughty. And the shepherd corrected them with the staff. If a sheep was going astray, if it wasn't doing well, we're told he could reach out and give it a wee rap. He could touch them and remind them what it was they should do. Now, we've got to ask ourselves the question, well then, what is God's rod and staff? His word. It is by his word God lets us know that we're numbered amongst his flock. It's by God's word that we learn the way of salvation and how to be part of the flock of God, how to be saved. It's by God's word that when we go astray, God turns us back into the way, rescues us, pulls us up out of the hole that we have fallen into the careless, sinful ways. He rescues us by his word. But sometimes he uses his word to strike us, and correct us, and rebuke us. Oftentimes when I'm reading my Bible, I notice how often God's servants are rebuking God's people. Because we go astray so readily. And we require being rebuked constantly. And God's word chastens us, rebukes us. There's a verse that is very, very important for us to bear in mind. And it is this. Hear the rod and obey it. Hear the rod. Hear the word of God when it is being used as a rod to chasten and correct, and submit to it and obey it. Oh, I think today is a day in which the people of God should heed the rod. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Now all of you here, you bear in mind this lovely verse that so many people sing but don't understand. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I know you're with me because you speak to me through your word. You correct me through your word. You pull me back again into the path of righteousness through your word. I know you're with me. Just as the shepherd, by touching the sheep, indicates to the sheep, he's there. So through that book, God speaks to us. I hope he's spoken to you this morning.
Let's bow together, please, in prayer.
We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast granted us some understanding of thy word. And I pray that the boys and the girls here might be comforted by thy word this day. O, direct our paths, Lord. Cause them to walk in holiness through thy word this day. Bless the school, undertake for us every activity this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.